Bush pouted and stomped his little bratty ass and got his way. Well, the Germans actually have set themselves a goal of having 20% of their energy produced by solar power. And
this is the Quality News Network. Bodies are being pulled out of the rubble south of Lima, Peru. A 7.9 earthquake struck there last night. 10 smaller tremors have hit the region since. As many as 350 people have been killed and more than 1,300 injured. In Iraq, it is the deadliest incident since the U.S. invasion. Officials predict the death toll from this week's attack on a Kurdish sect may reach 500. Today, bodies are still being recovered from the debris left by four near simultaneous bombings Tuesday afternoon. In Afghanistan, U.S. and Afghan forces are hammering the Tora Bora region near the Pakistan border, once thought to harbor Osama bin Laden. Afghan authorities say 50 militants and 30 civilians have been killed. The Pentagon reports today the rate of suicide among U.S. troops is the highest it's been in 26 years. More than a quarter of the soldiers who killed themselves in the past year did so while stationed in Iraq or Afghanistan. In Jerusalem, U.S. diplomats today signed a deal promising Israel $30 billion in military aid. The White House says the funding is part of its campaign to combat Iranian influence in the region. In Haiti, an important human rights worker and senatorial candidate has gone missing, sparking an international outcry for a government investigation into his disappearance. Pierre Antoine Levinsky vanished Sunday night from Port-au-Prince following a meeting with an international human rights delegation. In Oregon, the former director of an Islamic charity accused of supporting al-Qaeda surrendered to authorities and pleaded not guilty to federal charges. Opening arguments in the case against the charity began yesterday. Tropical Storm Dean in the Caribbean has become this season's first Atlantic hurricane. Hurricane warnings have been issued for islands in the chain that include Trinidad and Martinique. In Texas, the governor has ordered emergency personnel to the state's southern regions as Tropical Storm Aaron made landfall this morning, lashing the coastline with heavy rains and winds. Firefighters in Montana and Washington continue to combat wildfires, some that ignited weeks ago. Gold is trading at $675 an ounce, and you're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
This morning, a 6.7 earthquake struck northeast of Australia in the Solomon Islands. There are no immediate reports of injuries. An international study comparing typical burger-based fast food to takeout health food indicates both have similar effects on the cardiovascular system. Researchers say a salad, yogurt, and orange juice prepared at a fast food restaurant appears to be as taxing to heart health as a burger, fries, and soft drink. Sara Lee announced a 14-fold increase in quarterly profits compared to the same time last year. Revenues grew to $3.2 billion. The food company credited cost-cutting measures and increased sales in all of its divisions. Yesterday, shares of Countrywide Financial plunged 13%, its most dramatic one-day decline since the Black Monday stock market crash 20 years ago. The stock fall came after Wall Street and analyst announced Countrywide, the nation's largest mortgage lender, could face bankruptcy. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.66 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. and silver at $12.38 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 83 points, NASDAQ down 12, the S&P 500 is down 9 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, this is Joe. I'm frickin' here. It's the morning. It's 10 o'clock here in Chicago, and yeah, it doesn't sound like I'm real excited. I'm just pissed, that's all. Last night, for those some of you know, if you listen to Bob Kincaid's show, We finally got word about the grant thing that BlogPack was doing for under $5,000, which, you know, even by itself was not particularly generous. But hey, you know, you take what you can get. As Bob Kincaid said, $5,000 for the Head On Network and keep us afloat for another entire year. Whereas some purely tech sites require $30,000 a month to do what? I have no idea. And there were supposed to be five. They wound up giving six, up to $5,000. And I'm not going to say who they are. Who the hell cares who they are? The ones that got it. Probably friends of the people that started the contest. And we are not among them. Obviously, and Bob Kincaid read the letter that he wrote, which was such an astounding letter. I was reaching for my checkbook myself, and I got all of $7 in the bank, okay? But they obviously never read the damn thing, or they looked at it and laughed. Let me tell you about what Bob Kincaid has done, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea. Let me tell you how Bob Kincaid started this a couple of years ago. With just his show and a $15,000 grant from the Carpenters Union. And took it and recruited hosts like myself, and I'll talk about that in a minute, and built it into a network that does 12 hours of live radio Monday through Friday. Mostly live. I mean, you know, if I can't do a show, I can't do a show. I've got reasons for that. I have got a screwy internet. I've got a screwy job. The fact that I have to have a job says something right there. And in fact, I've got a job that doesn't even pay the rent, but that's not even important. It's a lot of hard work on Bob and Agnes's part. Both of them, really. Sleepless nights. Criticism from family members and relatives about, why don't you get a real job? I get that on my end too, trust me. Although I have family members who are generally supportive of the radio show, but you know, when it comes to helping out a little bit, you know, they're like, well, see, why don't you get up off your ass? Why don't you be like this person? And I just want to know, because I know our listeners feel this way, but I just want to know, does anybody out there, people who have a little bit of money on their hands, does anybody think what we're doing is worthwhile? Are we doing this all for nothing? Do I get up on the air here every single day as much as I can, tired because I get home from work? Am I doing this for nothing? That's all I want to know. Do we want to do this? Are we doing this for nothing? And sometimes I look, not just that the Netroots and the blogosphere and all that. So who are, you know, and the blogosphere has turned into a bunch of really a bunch of snarky, self-congratulatory nitwits. But how do people make money? How does a text website need $30,000 a month? I'm taking a conservative guess on Daily Coast that he's raising about $30,000 a week. You figure a $9,000 ad to run daily on Daily Coast. That's $9,000 a week, of course. A $9,000 ad, and that's $9,000. Where's Grant buried? In Grant's tomb, exactly. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? And where does that money go? And yet, you know, when Yearly Coast comes around, they've got their hand out. And other websites, they've always got their hand out. Can you spare a few $1,000 already? I'm sleeping on a damn air mattress, people. And we discussed this. I talked about this with Bob Kincaid on his show last night. And I'm just angry and I'm frustrated. And I don't know what else to do. I'm wondering how far down on that list we were. I was talking to Bob before the show. He was wondering if they even read his essay, his commentary, if they didn't already have something planned. You know, well, which of our rich bodies can we give our money to? And you know, above and beyond that, I sometimes wonder how some people make money at all. I look at the guy who ran Home Depot into the ground, and now he's getting the top job at Chrysler. You're technically his salary is what, $1 a year, but reality is he's going to be getting millions of dollars. You know it, I know it, everybody and his brother knows it. It's certainly not going to be performance based because he can throw Chrysler further in the tank than it already is, pardon the pun, and still walk off with a few $100 million. Yeah, whatever. Paul Harvey. This is, you know, I was talking to Bob about this. Paul Harvey, I don't know how much money Paul Harvey makes, but he does 5 minutes of shtick every day. He's probably got about 400,000 riders. And I used to listen to his stuff when on the Armed Forces Radio. They would pipe him in, and he would have the most ridiculous items. And that man grew up to be Rory Calhoun. And Bob was laughing his ass off at that. I stole the line from The Simpsons, unfortunately. But that's basically it. And he makes millions of dollars. What does it take? What do we got to do to get a little love? And, you know, a lot of times I think it's me personally because, you know, I can't get anybody to buy a damn ad on my show. And I know the listeners out there, you don't have anything to advertise. But I can't get somebody to, you know, with the ads on the radio and with the questions I ask, I can't get somebody to say, hey, here's $300, give me an ad for my product for 3 months. That's not a lot of money. But you know what $300 a month would mean to me? It's $300 a month, right? Yeah, you get a month's worth of ads. I figured out comes out to roughly $5 an ad because it's one show a day, one ad per show, right? Or is it $100? It's $100 a month. You know what $100 a month would mean to me? You know the biggest problem I have with rent and bills is that I have to pay. I have to actually eat. I was talking to Bob a while ago, saying, you know, I was looking at my budget and I figure I could make it. I could break even in 6 months if I don't eat anything. And what are we doing that's wrong? That's what I want to know. What are we doing that's wrong? And why can't we get a little love? Let me take a break. Let me take our first break. Try to calm myself down. It is very difficult for me, having been born in Brooklyn, to not yell and scream without using the F word every 5 minutes. Okay? As I told somebody once, I said, look, damn it, I'm from Brooklyn. We invented cursing. Okay. We'll be back with more Cup of Joe Radio Show, Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why UnreportedNews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to unreportednews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. Unreportednews.net, your source for real news.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed lesbian Bible study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mark?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it? Stand by
your man. Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, we're back. Just listening to the music. Thinking about stuff. And I was just thinking on the way home, you know, so what we have to do in order to get a little love. You know what I'd like to do right now for the next 15 minutes. And by the way, he's been in the Head On Radio Network chat room, and if you want to get in the Head On Radio, let me say it right. I'm just if you want to get into the Head On Radio Network chat room, thank you, just go to headonradionetwork.com and log into the chat chat room there. You have to give a name, of course. You can give any name you want, except, you know, don't use my name, because I'm there already, and I'll sue you. And that'll be how we get the money. but look, I want to bring our good friend Bob Kincaid into this, but he was writing in the chat room. He was saying that we are 5 hours short of producing as much original programming as Air America. And that's remarkable. That's really remarkable when you consider the expenses, you know, Air America has. And, you know, we do it all in a wing and a prayer. Look, you know, the reason why the right wing has done what they're doing is because they were able to buy out radio stations. They changed the laws so that you didn't have to be, you know, fair about what you say. And then they got on the air in everybody's workplace and everybody's homes and everybody's cars and started using propaganda. The blogosphere is wonderful, but you know what? The blogosphere is preaching to the choir. Everybody in the Daily Coast community, they're all hard-wing left Democrats, or the few Republican trolls that are in there trying to stir up trouble. But the point of the matter is, who are they reaching besides themselves? And the Yearly Coast was nice, but it's very self-congratulatory. They're all over themselves. Yeah, it's wonderful we got Democrats elected to Congress. And I'm like, that really is. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Not that it means a whole lot, because Bush is like, I'm going to do whatever I feel like anyway. We don't care. But if you want to know why the country is tarted, if you want to know why our stuff's messed up, it's because every day, regardless of what's said in the blogosphere, 10 times the amount of people in their cars on their way to work, in their workplaces, sometimes at home, listen to nothing but right-wing Republican propaganda. If you want to untar the country, you need to get voices out there that are speaking to them, that they can listen to. You need to get me in there every day telling them that they're being ripped off. Now, granted, a lot of bosses don't want you to hear that message, but that's what you have. And what is it with the left and money? You know, I've never relayed this information before on the air, but I'm going to do it today. For those of you who remember me back that far, I first did radio, internet radio, on the Joey Jojo show with my good friend Joey Davis. And, he was my good friend at the time anyway. And he was the one, it was on Bart Cop, I think it was on Bart Cop, in the Bart Cop forum, he was saying, hey, you know, I live here in Atlanta, I was living in Atlanta at the time, and he said, I live here in Atlanta, I'm looking to do a radio show, who wants to join in? And I thought, well, you know, I'll give this a try. And I wrote him and said, yeah, you know, I'm interested. But then, you know, some real life issues and, you know, came up. And a couple of days later, he wrote back saying, see, you know, he wrote something, you know, somebody wrote something, but they didn't follow up on it. So I guess nobody's real serious about it. And I immediately wrote back and said, no, I just got caught up with stuff. That's all. You want to do a show? Let's do a show. And he showed me how to mix a show. And he showed me, you know, all the internet stuff. And he just set up a little site to do web streaming. No problem. And we would do additional. We did 36 shows, if I remember correctly. Some of them are still on the line somewhere, I believe, somewhere. But we did 36 shows together. And then what happened was that Joey's wife inherited roughly seven figures. And this is about the time when I was really starting to have serious problems. This is right when Kathy had wrecked the car, my late wife, who I love dearly. I was about ready to get evicted from my apartment. And once he got the money, he was like, I don't want to know you anymore. He would come pick me up. We weren't doing very often. We were doing one show a week. But he would basically, and he would have to come and pick me up because my car, you know, was gone and I had no money to get it repaired because the insurance would not cover it because it was my wife's fault for the accident, right? So, he would come pick me up. We'd do the show, and his attitude was kind of, you know, let's do this and get it over with. And then he'd drive me back, and that would be it. We didn't have any discussions beforehand. We didn't talk about what we want to talk about. I tried to get him to do some, you know, some advertising things or some, you know, some little skits and things like that. But all of a sudden, he just kind of lost interest. He bought a new car, paid off his house, and it was see ya. And finally, I just told him, I said, you know something? You don't want it. Go away. And that's, you know, that was basically it. And it really kind of pissed me off because like Bob and like myself, he was one of those guys saying, hey, who's going to be our sugar daddy? Who's going to help us on the left? A few weeks later, Kathy and I were evicted, and we she had to give up her kids to a relative because, you know, they couldn't be homeless. And if it wasn't for Phyllis Euster, Kathy and I would have been homeless. We were looking at shelters. Phyllis Euster was just somebody who worked in the Howard Dean campaign. And she put us up for a while. I got another job. We moved over to that place in Decatur. And, you know, tried to reset. And, of course, then she got real sick. And, you know the rest. But the point is, at about that time, about $10,000 would have made a huge difference in our lives. Would have made a very huge difference. And it wasn't a question of just giving it a gift. You know, if Joey was serious about doing the radio, we could have been partners. We had a great show together. We had great camaraderie. We had good on-air personality. You know, we worked well together. And I wanted to work towards that. We could have really built something. You know, we could have been the other part of the Head On Network. We could have gone elsewhere, perhaps. You know, it would have been something. We could have been contenders.
Easy there, Marlon.
We could have been contenders. We could have been somebody.
We could have been somebody.
That's Bob Kincaid, ladies and gentlemen. I asked him to be on, and then I got to start rambling, by the way. But no, and he was just basically gone. So, Bob, if you hit the lottery, are you gonna go? Are you going to say, me and Agnes are going on a cruise, and we're going to screw our brains out for the next 6 months on a ship somewhere?
2 weeks. And, 2 weeks tops. We're old people. 2 weeks tops.
2 weeks tops.
No, not even 2 weeks.
No. I mean, you know, I play that little game inside my head, Joe. You know, what happens if I win the lottery? And, yeah, there's some stuff in there. Ooh, I'm going to have a house that has a real viable roof on it. Ooh, I'm going to jack up the collapsing floor. Ooh.
You know what I fantasize? I'm going to biggie size that value meal.
Yeah. I'm going to Sonic and get some chili cheese tots, the really big one.
Maybe like a... Weird Al Yankovic talking about, you know, when he was first starting out, and all the people made fun of me, and you know something now? They work at 7-Eleven, and me? I shop at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, damn right.
Damn right. I'm going to shop at 7-Eleven, damn it. Well, you know, I keep being reminded of the old joke about the guy who prayed every night to God that he would win the lottery. Please, God, let me win the lottery. And finally, God contacts and says, meet me halfway, buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And we bought tickets. How, you know, in that term, we've bought tickets with the Head On Network, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, so sure we have.
God half, we've met God more than halfway. We're 75% there.
You know, I feel kind of dicey talking about this stuff because I feel... and it's
you feel like we're whining. You feel like we're whining.
Yeah, and I also feel very much like a televangelist. But I had someone call me last night and said, get over it. You're not promising anybody a healing, and your audience is smarter than to your audience is smarter than to send in, you know, their social security check, and while they, you know, eat canned salmon.
Right. Well, we shouldn't be asking people for stuff like that. I mean, that's not their job. Their job is to listen and to enjoy and to call in from time to time. That's what their job is. Their job isn't, you know, I don't want to ask people for money on the air. I hate that. I hate asking for money for my relatives. Not that they ever give it anyway, but I hate asking for money for my relatives. I hate asking my work for money, okay? I go to work and I'm almost ashamed to get a paycheck from them.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when you, and shame on me for hanging any kind of hopes or anything on that, you know, that outfit. But I did.
Well, you got to think positively, you know.
I'm just astonished that. And look, let's put the blinking lights out. Let's set the little roadside flares up and light them. Bob is going to be shitty for a moment. Okay, I said it. We lost out to a plan to make a list of videos. Let that sink in.
I'm wondering if we fell above or higher or lower than Fred's blog.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Fred. I got a blog. I fear with government funding, it would be much better.
We lost out to a plan to make maps of precincts that you can already get by going to any county clerk's office. I'm not kidding.
I saw the list. In fact, they posted it on Daily Coast before they posted it on their own site. What does that say? Chris Bowers was the guy that was in charge of posting it, and he put it on Daily Coast before he put it on his site. So, what does that tell you?
Well,
And what did I say? Well, how much does this Coast pull in? A week! $30,000.
But I'm not jealous of that, Joe. I'm not jealous of anybody's money. I don't give a damn.
It's not a question of being jealous. It's just a question of how come what he does is worth $30,000 a week and what we do is worth nothing. And I'll tell you something. If we had smart people on the left who would buy radio stations, who would have you and me on the air every single frickin' day in radio stations where people can hear it in their homes, where people can hear it at their work, in their cars on the way to work, we could change the damn world.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Remember, I was on the air in the fifth smallest market in America. When I talked to my grandpa years ago, he used to say, "Whatever you do, boy, try to be fifth best." and the day that I went on the air there, they had these ratings. Okay, you could hear the crickets if you turned the microphone up loud enough.
Right.
In the year and a half that I was there, the ratings almost tripled. And the only thing that was different was me. Okay? Now, but I said things like Snake Farm and All Snake Insurance, and, my poor little fundamentalist general manager went, "Oh, Jesus!" Because Snake Farm called them.
You can't do them, yeah. Can't do that. Can't blame the corporations.
Right.
Hey, listen. I've just got informed by Agnes, our good friend Kevin. I think it's Kevin from DC.
Yeah.
He's on the line for us. Let's bring him on.
All right. Stand by. Let me find the right button.
Yeah, hit the button.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Joe. It is Kevin from DC. It's been a while.
Hi. How are you doing? Yeah, I haven't heard from you in a bit. What's up?
Yeah. Well, working. I've been on the road a lot. I was out in Minnesota for a while.
You were in a car, I hope.
Uh-huh.
You were in a car, I hope.
Well, I was in a hotel room when that bridge collapsed, and and matter of fact, I crossed that bridge a couple of times, and the first thing I did was call my wife and my mother and tell them I'm not on that bridge, So, but everything is going okay. I'm on the road a lot, and I miss you, and I miss Bob and Agnes. When I was unemployed for that month or month and a half, calling you guys was the high point. And,
We appreciate
it. Hello. Yeah. And, I'm going to try, as I'm slowly getting back on my feet, and, this isn't BS, I'm going to try and shoot
you
an email.
Look, if you're talking about donating some money, Kevin, really, the point is you shouldn't have to be doing this. That's the big point.
I know I shouldn't. And you know what? It's not a donation. You guys kind of got me through a little bit of a rough patch. It's just recognition. Let's just say that.
Again, that's nice, and it's all wonderful. But you know what, Kevin? Hang on to your money, because the onus ought to be on the people who have the investment money to do that. They don't understand that what they put in here is an investment in the future for the country, for Christ's sake. And if you're going to insist on sending money, that's fine. There's nothing I can do to stop you. But my point is, you shouldn't have to, Kevin. As I said, your job.
No,
is
okay. I got. I'm jumping in on this one. I'm sorry, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you're right. You shouldn't have to. And neither should the people who are making sure that the lights stay on here have to. And we operated for almost, a year and a half before we broke down and started doing this. Nobody should have to. There should be somebody out there. But, you know, unfortunately, the same reason that, that right-wing talk radio took over the radio spectrum, i.e. a bunch of liberals sitting there going, oh, I don't want that. You know, who'd listen to that? Well, you know, 20 million people.
Right.
And now they say, well, we don't want to be like them. We don't want to do radio. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but the fact of the matter is, right now, listener support is all we got.
And like I said, you know, you guys supported me, whether you know it or not, when I was unemployed and my marriage was in trouble. And it still is in trouble because, you know, I'm on the road, and I haven't seen my wife in 2 years. I mean, not 2 years, 2 months. You know, next week I'm going down to see her. You know, it's the least I can do. It really is the least.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's really nice. I just feel ashamed.
But it'll be what I can do, you know.
Well, I just feel ashamed that it comes down to that. That's all.
And you know what? But the thing is, going back to, you know, the prime directive, as they say in Star Trek, all the money the right wing gets is not for free. Don't forget, Reagan built his political career being the spokesman for GE. GE bailed Reagan out of bankruptcy and gave him a salary for going around talking to GE employees about deregulation of businesses and corporations.
It was an investment for them. That's what it was. It was an investment.
It was a long-term investment.
Right.
And hence, GE is the industrial military complex. You know, this right-wing government that we have was brought to you by GE.
Well, GE and other corporations, they were a big part of it. But yeah, you're right, you're right.
So, you know, these corporations, when they break off a couple of million off to Rush Limbaugh and the Ann Coulters, it's an investment. They're looking at it 20, 30 years down the line.
And we're not, and we're absolutely not. And, what you know, the blogosphere is great, but you know what? Still, a majority of the people in this country do not have computers, and even among the people who do have computers, they wouldn't know what a blog was if it fell on them.
And the reality is, you know, the prime directive of any living creature is self-interest, and that goes true for rich people. People who can afford to be... Hello?
I'm here. Hello? We're listening.
Yeah, people who can afford to invest into the show, it's not within their self-interest. Okay? You know, unless they're a person of amazing character like Franklin D. Roosevelt, who, you know, said, you know, if they don't, and even he was acting in self-interest, if we don't do something and alleviate some of this poverty, they're going to come and slit our throats at night.
Oh, sure, exactly. And I don't have a problem with that because he recognized it and he understood that you have to be responsible for everybody.
It took years of Eleanor preaching to him over and over and over again until it finally sunk in because, really, he was all the reforms that he created was through Eleanor, who was more sensitive to it. He never was. You know,
well, because she went around and she talked to people. Yeah, people misunderstand us on you know, for me in particular, they think, you know, I'm just jealous of rich people and I don't like rich. But, you know, some of the greatest figures in Democratic history have been very rich people. Roosevelt, you know, Kennedy, these are massive figures in American history. And they were very rich. They were very wealthy, but they understood. And, you know, and Roosevelt said that the distribution of wealth in the country, he said, we've finally realized that not only is it bad, is it immoral, it's also bad economics.
Yeah.
And that's what we got here.
But, again, we're suffering from a society that's into instant gratification. You know, they don't think of the long term.
Right.
They don't. And the thing is, you know, the messages to the cultures and the Limbaughs and the right wing overall, the poor always wins. If you look at throughout history, the Viet Cong, you know, whatever, the serfs, whatever, they always win. You know,
takes a long time.
It may take a long time. It may take millions of bodies, but we will always win.
Well, you know, Kevin, here's the truth of that matter, looking back at history. The only time people really did start to win in that regard is when literacy rate went up after the printing press came out. Al Gore talked about that in his latest book. Because in the years before that, it was just a struggle to survive. Okay. But you know something? This internet thing here, this crazy wonderful technological device that allows me to get on the air, is the greatest communicative device ever devised in human history. Because you can reach people across the globe.
Yeah. You know, I'm so into the internet. Well, you know, I make my living off of IT, of course. Mm-hmm. But the only piece of Windows software that I have is the basic XP operating system, which I'm looking to get rid of eventually. You know, I'm all on open source. Everything.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to develop a good open source operating system so I can get off Windows. Because you know something? I see people with Macs, they say, why don't you convert to Macs? You know what? I don't like Macs either. I don't like Windows very much. I'm just used to it. But that's getting off the subject here. I just don't understand why the left doesn't see what we do as any good. Why, you know, even and you know, $5,000, that's not a whole lot of money, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, we could certainly do with a lot more than that. But the point is, why aren't even we worth that? Why are we losing out to somebody who's doing something like Bob said that's already being done?
Well, the thing is, again, you know, they're not going to see the payback anytime soon, you know, unless they're very open-minded and very far-sighted.
Right. Well, like I said, if you want to untard the country, if you want to get us unstupid, you need to have your voices out there that people can hear every day, tell them to stand up and fight for themselves instead of telling them that you're worthless if you're not standing up on your own two feet. And oh, look at that black guy or look at that Mexican guy. You know, they're homeless and they're a bunch of vagabonds. You know, make fun of them, blame them for whatever problems you have.
Yeah, and, you know, coming back from the Midwest, you know, I've seen that all over the place, especially in Minnesota and the Dakotas, where I was for a month. And Minnesota is supposedly a progressive state. That's progressive. I'll hate to see what a real conservative, well, I just came from a real, real conservative state is.
Well, you know, Minnesota's been known as the most liberal state in the country. It's the only state never to vote
for
Reagan.
It's not that liberal. Trust me. Not that liberal.
Well, they voted in, what's his name, is Governor Jesse Ventura, and now they've got, I can't think of his name now.
Muslim congressman?
No, not the Muslim congressman. The one who died. Wellstone. After Paul Wellstone died, they replaced him with that right-wing, you know, son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is with Minnesota, it's very funny, and I kind of dealt this with Bob Kincaid. A lot of Somalis are now living in Minnesota, and a lot of Mexicans, a lot of color has been moving into Minnesota. And, you know, when Minnesota was 99.99% Caucasian, all the social welfare benefits were okay. Now, since some color is getting into the mix, because in Minnesota, you can live a fairly middle-class lifestyle on a minimum wage job because of the generous welfare benefits. And that's why, you know, now it's starting to change, and people are starting to say, well, we need to tighten up the budget and all that stuff.
Yeah, but meanwhile, they're not asking the right people to pony up for it, right? It's got to be, yeah, it's always got to be the poor people. It's always got to be schools. It's always got to be public transportation.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, let's give all the tax breaks to Walmart to open up a box there and shut the door on every small business in a 10-mile area.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah. And you know.
Go ahead.
You know, and to me, it goes down to anything. You know, and if you look at international politics, you know, Sweden, the double standard. Sweden, Norway, who are vast welfare states, they get a pass, while Cuba and any black country who has tried, they were declared communists.
Yeah, well, it's all racist. It's all racist, and it's all tribal. Because, you know, Because, you know, Denmark and Sweden, that's you know, we don't realize it, but that's part of our culture. Five out of the 7 days of the week are named after Norse gods. People don't realize that whole Viking thing is a huge part of our culture. Listen, Kevin, it's quarter till. We got to cut out for a break. I want to thank you again for calling. And again, if you know, I'm not asking you to. If you insist on donating money, that's fine. That's well and good.
I do.
But again, my point is, you shouldn't have to. Okay.
I do insist, and you know what? It won't be a lot because, you know, I'm trying to get back on my feet, but...
Well, no, I understand, I understand totally, and you shouldn't have to. You know, you shouldn't have to do anything apart from listen to the show and call in and enjoy yourself. That's all you should be required to do.
But, you know, you guys kind of got me through a bump, and it's the least I can do.
Well, we appreciate it. Kevin, thanks a lot. Let me let you go here so we can
take a break. God bless, man.
Bye. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Our good friend Kevin from D.C. We'll be back with more. The Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. What do you do when your job is to enforce labor law, but your employer is resorting to the same tactics you are employed to fight? You ask for his resignation. That is the case for employees of the National Labor Relations Board who are engaged in a battle for their bargaining rights against National Labor Relations Board General Counsel Ronald Meisberg. The employees of the NLRB are represented by the National Labor Relations Board Union, and on Wednesday they held informational pickets. In 2005, the union sought to consolidate four employee groups into one bargaining unit. The Federal Labor Relations Authority agreed with the consolidation, and the union was certified to bargain for the 1,000 NLRB employees. Following the vote, Meisberg sent out an email in which he said he would not bargain with the NLRBU and would instead tie the dispute up in federal circuit courts, a process that could take years to work out. Meisberg was a recess appointment of President George W. Bush in January of 2006. The Senate eventually confirmed his appointment in August of 2006. In other NLRB news, seven labor unions have asked the board for bargaining rights with employers, even if a minority of employees are represented at the workplace. In a New York Times article, Southern Methodist University labor law professor Charles J. Morris said that bargaining with a union, even if only a minority is represented, is required under the National Labor Relations Act. The unions are arguing that the act says employers do not have to bargain with a union as representative of all employees, but only for those employees in the union. Today in Washington State, delegates representing 500 Washington labor unions are gathering to bang out strategy and priorities for the coming year. The state has one of the largest percentages of organized workers in the country, and Washington State Labor Council Communications Director David Groves claims that gives his state a lot of pull nationally.
There's no question that Washington is a strong union state and that we have a significant amount of influence in the legislature and on national issues.
The convention will address how to approach working family issues like health care and will also touch on immigration and workers' rights to organize. Also on the table will be a number of endorsements, including who Washington Labor believes should be the next president.
Promoting health care coverage, the minimum wage, benefits if you're laid off your job. They're to benefit all workers in the state.
Here is today's economic report. For 3 years, the Workers Independent News has been monitoring the growing discrepancy between the average number of vacation days for U.S. workers compared to our counterparts in other countries. As President Bush prepares to break the presidential vacation day record, Lou Dobbs joined our chorus with a commentary on CNN Tuesday morning.
The French and the Germans, they get a lousy 35 days a year. And the British, well, they're the hard workers in Europe. They get 28 days of vacation, which, of course, is more than twice the vacation most Americans get.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please, because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, buddy.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a pony dog craving for a fight.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. And yeah, we need a revolution. You know, it's remarkable how well those songs hold up. Well, you know, things really haven't changed much in 40 years or so, have they, when the Beatles wrote that song. They really haven't changed much. I keep remembering the song Getting Better All the Time, which is the perfect Beatles song in the sense that it really described the differences between Paul McCartney and John Lennon, where Paul was singing really happy upbeats, getting all the better all the time, and there's John in the background singing, couldn't get much worse. And that's kind of how I feel right now. Well, you know, Lennon was a pessimist. He tried stuff. He was a bit naive, you know, but he tried stuff. I was, in sitting here whining, and, you know, before I started the show, I went through my news sites anyway. And again, one of my favorite blogs, and Avedon Carroll, who works out in England, she doesn't, I don't know how much she gets in money. She has some friends out there in England who support her, just you know, basically let her have a place to stay. But she, you know, she doesn't make a ton of money, and you know, it's all well and good one way or the other, but that's really not the point. But the thing is, she has one of the better websites out there, because she's a link site like Atrios and like Buzzflash and like a lot of other sites, but she also has an occasional commentary. And I want to reach this point because I want to use this in the context of what we're talking about. She says there's yet another right winger who suddenly acknowledges that the leadership of the Republicans have been operating under that is Karl Rove, has been entirely about partisan politics and not at all about doing anything for our country. And they've noticed that long after everyone else has had it rubbed in their faces to the point of asphyxia. But as usual, this is just a prelude to claiming that whatever the rest of us do in response will just be an emulation of Rove's ultra-partisanship rather than an attempt to undo some of the damage. And that's the truth. They're inoculating themselves from it. Because any time that we try to do something in return now, it's like, see, this is bad. And then she adds, and this is the big point, she's thoroughly unnerved by the way the Netroots seem to be taking for granted, again, that voting machines aren't an issue. And this is my pet issue. Everybody's got a pet issue on the left. And I've seen it in case by case where people go, oh, you know, if you don't free the Cuba 8, then the whole world is going to collapse, and that's the biggest issue in the world, and I want all of that, free the Cuba 8. Okay, fine, well and good. Now, you know, I'm sad for the Cuba 8. I'm sad for the Haiti 7. I'm sad for, you know, seals with crutches or whatever, you know. All are good causes. But you know what? If you don't have free and fair elections in this country, none of it's going to get solved. Because you know that the Republicans aren't going to be interested in solving these issues. And you know that the Democrats aren't interested in solving these issues. No politician is going to be interested in solving any issues if they know the election's in the bag. And if they know that they can count on it being fixed. NBA referees fixing basketball games, that's headline news. United States elections getting rigged, page 813, if you're lucky. But my point is, if I were on the air in 10 million radio stations or 10 million offices across the country, talking to people about this every single day, if Mark Levine was talking about the voting machines every single day and letting people know what the truth of the matter is about how Diebold is run by Republican operatives and about how easily the machines are hacked,
If we got into people's heads like that every single day, don't you think it would start to make a real difference? And the reason why the money that the people from Daily Coast and from other places who donate money to, who fundraise for candidates, the reason why those candidates win is because they're able to spend the money to get television ads and radio ads and all this stuff, which are very, very expensive. If you want to know why fundraising in this country is usually expensive, that's a big reason. One of the other things I would like to do is to make it a requirement of their license that they provide some free airtime. Set some rules, set some guidelines, you know, determine that. But the point is, you know, let's make it so that a politician doesn't have to fundraise quite so much. Okay? But if I was to be able to talk about this every single day on my show and have people listening thinking, oh my God, then you can get a lot more done. But the left doesn't see it that way. They've got their blogs now and they're doing well, and the Democrats are sucking up to them because they know that that's where a lot of money and votes are coming from. But they're not thinking long term. They're only thinking about, and you know, and Governor Dean talks about one election cycle at a time, you know, or, you know, it can't be about more than just one election cycle. You have to think long term, but we're not doing that. We don't understand that it's an investment. The healthcare companies, when Clinton came up with his healthcare thing back in the 90s, the healthcare insurance company, that industrial complex, that healthcare industrial complex, they spent tens of millions of dollars to kill it. Why? Because they knew that if they killed it, they would get hundreds of million dollars in return. If the left wants to really turn things around in this country, you need to get the message out. The right wing does it through a combination of many things. They combined with their corporate stuff, they also go through religion. Have you ever been to one of these mega churches? I have. It's very scary, ladies and gentlemen. And these are people who get lots and lots of money and communicate their message on a regular basis to people. That's a powerful, powerful tool. That's why you have a George W. Bush in office, because George W. Bush is just a Simpson. A symptom, not a Simpson. I'm sorry. Bush is just a symptom of the problem. Karl Rove is a symptom of the problem. The leadership of the Republican Party is a symptom of the problem. The problem is that Americans are either too misinformed, have been too propagandized, or are too concerned with their own individual affairs to realize the danger to themselves and to the world. To the world. What I said on the show yesterday is absolutely right. This is a hegemony. I can't even pronounce the damn thing right. But it's not a political / ideological one. It's a corporate one. It's all about greed. It's all about how they can separate you from your money. Never mind if you know your kid can't go to college. Never mind if you get kicked out of hospitals because you can't afford to pay your medical bill, if you die in the emergency room floor because, you know, they don't really want to deal with you. What's wrong with us? Part of it is that people don't know. And if more people do know by hearing it in their radios every single day, and, you know, Air America, where are they on? Where are they on? They're all in the big cities preaching to the converted. Why aren't they going out and getting, you know, radio stations out there in the burbs? They can do it. There are people out there who got some serious money, but they're not thinking about it. But I'm thinking about ending the show because we're just about at the end here. The Cup of Joe radio show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, my good friend Bob Kincaid and my boss. Producing the show out there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your head-on radio network stations. Until tomorrow. And tomorrow's Friday, isn't it? Good Lord, the week went by fast. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio, the Cup of Joe's Radio Show. Wondering why I'm doing this, but still saying, hey, Get back to work.
Joe, I'll crave a plate of day.